thanks once again for downloading and listening to a podcast from Celtic Underground. We are in the 21st year and the 20th season of the world's longest running football fans podcast. You can subscribe by going to thecelticunderground.substack.com and you will get correspondence, articles, emails straight to your inbox. You can pay a little bit of money and you will get exclusive content straight to your inbox. And if you go online and look on our website, you can still, you don't need to be on the Substack app, you can get all the podcasts on your usual provider. Anyway, enough of me. This is me, Harry Brady, saying enjoy the latest podcast.
Misery loves company. That's what the wise man said. The remedy.
As we are recording this, it's not been formally announced, but I understand that Martin O'Neill this afternoon did arrive in Glasgow. So I'm on with Andrew and Stephen to discuss the appointment of Martin O'Neill as the continuing stroke new Celtic manager. So Andrew, we had quite a podcast about the manager that never was in Robbie Keane and the other candidates that were around at the time. And it's now been confirmed to be Martin. So what's your thoughts on the appointment of Martin as the Celtic manager?
I've made my peace with it. Yeah, I think it's... Maybe they lower our expectations so much that this is where you arrive at. But the very fact it wasn't Robbie Keane was just my every prayer answered. Because as me and Stephen have spoken about, it would have broken a bond with us, with Celtic for us. So the fact that it's Martin... And I think Martin in a World Cup year, I know you've talked about this before, Brian, the uncertainty that they would have created around that, that's all been wiped away. You've got a guy in who knows the league, who knows his squad, who knows how to win things at Celtic right here, right now. He might be... See this stuff about him being 74? I'm just back from Dublin. And who did I go to see? 74-year-old David Byrne. Giving it his for 2 hours and all this, you know, doing his, like, he was constantly on the move. He did cough up, but three or four times, and because he had one of those, you know, one of those mics that attached to you, you can't cough. Like, I could cough there, or I could cough here. But see, if you've got a mic around your mouth, you could hear him coughing, which was quite unsettling. You don't often hear an artist, because I thought, do you often hear people at concerts coughing? Do you often hear singers coughing? You don't, because they move away from the mic. But if the mic's stuck to you, there's nowhere to go. But he's 74. He's on a world tour that started last September, a world tour that's going into, it's got further dates across Europe. And it's like, 74's not necessarily the end of your life, and Martin's a sprightly 74. The other element that people have raised and it's saying it's terrible, that he could ruin his legacy. Nothing could ruin his legacy. Because if he's here for another year and he wins nothing, he wins one title out of his almost kind of 2 years. What about his first spell? He won one title in his final three seasons. Did that ruin his legacy? No, I think, Martin, I'm already seeing Celtic linked. We strapping players. It's all good for me. As I say, I've reached my accommodation with it.
And the football, so Stephen, where are you?
The football was mouthwatering. Sorry, eye watering. But the football will be better. I've no doubts about it. Sorry.
No, sorry, Stephen. Where are you with the Martin appointment?
I'm kind of like Andrew on it. It's kind of, we were given two choices. It seemed like we narrowed it down to two choices. And just purely for the fact that it wasn't the other choice. But that's maybe a bit unfair to Martin. It's funny, I was up for the cup game last year when we beat Rangers. And, you know, Martin, there's people out there keeping receipts. When Eddie put the thing up on the huddle board about the rumour that Martin O'Neill's coming in tonight, Brendan Rodgers is going, and everybody went, that's nonsense, mental. And, you know, and I was one of the people that said, please God, no, Martin's a dinosaur, because this was just off the back of he'd been on the telly or on the radio talking about all these modern newfangled things like XG, and a load of shit, whatever. I thought, oh, we don't need that. He is, you know, he's detached from the game. So when he came back, I was like, no, I don't want him back. And then I was up for the Rangers game, which was, what, 2 weeks after that or something, and we beat them, and I'm in the pub, and everybody's, you know, Martin O'Neill, the chant goes up, and you're back to 2003 again. And you're, you know, I think I'm 30 again. You go through it, and Martin is the constant. You know, when I met my wife, Martin was the manager. He's still the manager now. Like, do you know? So it is a con. And
you're three wives down.
Yeah, he's not. And when you talk about the thing, as Andrew said, you know, David Byrne's a good example. I saw Springsteen last year, the same thing. These guys are, so actually when you look at Martin, you think, well, he's not actually that old. He's fit and healthy. He's not carrying a lot of timber. He's not an unhealthy guy. He's a guy that's always looked after himself. You know, he's one of the more intelligent footballers, you know, of his generation. So, yeah, I can live with it. I think last year you talked about it, Brian, there was a lot of coaching by committee. I think we might see less of that now because he's in charge, not just only in charge for a few months, and he's got time to maybe make those changes. So, yeah, I'm happy with it. You know, I would have liked to see us cast the net wider maybe, but we don't do that. So you just got to accept it. You know, it's Celtic.
I think your point on the age thing, Andrew, and earlier tonight, obviously we know that, I think it was last night, news started to come through that Kevin Kelly had passed away. And I was working out the age that Kevin Kelly was when Fergus came. So Kevin Kelly was either the same age as me or a year younger than I am now when Fergus came. Fergus, I think, is not much older than I am now when Fergus came as well. I do think, I mean, I know we joke about it because we're getting older, but I do genuinely think people 60 today are like people were 30 years ago at 40. I mean, there is an element of that. But for me, the biggest reason for keeping Martin was thinking through the dynamics of scouting for players that we're going to have to do this summer, taking into account, and actually frustrates me when I read online, people joking, do we even have a scouting department and stuff like that? We do. We've got an analytics team. We've got scouts. But if you change who the type of manager is now, they're going to be looking for a completely different type of player, which means the players that are brought forward to any manager that's non-Martin are highly likely to be players that our scouts haven't seen in the flesh. And that, for me, was one of the biggest reasons for going with Martin, because we've gone so far down the line of the scouting team having no option but to base it on the premise that it's likely to be Martin, because he's the guy in situ. What sort of considerations would you have had about deciding on Martin or going for somebody else, Andrew?
It's no progressive, is it? What you're saying is, for the third time in 9 months, you're putting the bat signal up to Martin O'Neill, who is still 74, and before he came back to Celtic, he hadn't managed for 6 years. So it's a man that's managed 1 year in the past six, thought his time was over. Do you know, it was interesting, I was talking about it to some friends the other night, and it's like, why did the bat signal not go up to Martin after Rodgers left the first time? Which he's kind of hinted at in that typically kind of acerbic, sour way of his. They never
wasn't
have
he, wasn't he in another job? Wasn't he in Forrest's job at the time where he'd just taken it or something? When Lennon was, came in? Yeah, I think he might have been out of... I think he might have been working.
Right.
Sure.
Right. That would... But he only lasted... Didn't only last...
He wasn't there for long, yeah. He could have come in when we got to the end of that season. You know, and Lennon got the job in the showers. I think when Neil, hang on, when was that? He was Forest manager.
So that was February 2018, I think it was, that Rodgers left the first time. But isn't it a progressive move? I'm not as queasy or as hung up about the fact that it's short term, because football by its very nature these days is short term. As we've talked about, I think we talked about even last week, Brian, had a new manager come in and absolutely knocked it out of the park. At the end of this first year, he would have been spirited away to English football. And I mean knocked out of the park in the sense he got to the quarterfinals of the Champions League or whatever, you know. Like, when you think back in it now, the Mourinho team, the Porto team that beat Celtic, and I think was it nine of the outfield players then played in the final of the Champions League the following year. Mm-hmm. That wouldn't happen now. A team from outside the big five cannot be kept together and their manager hang around for any length of time if they really show promise. So football's rapidly moved on since that era. So we're only really dealing with, you're almost dealing with year to year anyway. So that's no a consideration. But going back to the well, which Celtic, not only Celtic do, as I say, I know we had this discussion in our own Celtic Underground chat group the other week about Jupp Heynckes was four times manager of Bayern Munich.
I think won the treble in his last one or something, did he? Or won
second
the...
last one. I think he came back even after that. He came out of retirement to win that treble.
Yeah, and then came back out of retirement again.
So it's not a unique situation to Celtic, but Celtic seem to look for familiarity more than many.
And Mourinho, back to Madrid.
Of course.
Yeah. He's not the same age as Martin, but he's kind of the era, isn't it? You don't realise there's a, you know, because you look at Seville and Mourinho was probably about maybe 8-10 years younger than O'Neill at the time. But you do think of them as contemporaries because they were, you know, they were managing against each other then, weren't they? And then, you know, Mourinho went a different path.
Oh, definitely. So, as I say, progressive, but I don't think we can really expect progressive for this Celtic board because they're too set in their ways. And when they try to not be set in their ways, they will see, we tried something different with Nancy. And look how all that unravelled. But I think that's on name and sense of when they brought Nancy in. And what Nancy was, and not recognising Nancy would have required, he's a summer manager, the kind of philosophy managers, the ideological managers, you don't bring them in mid-season. Hark, Ange Postecoglou in Nottingham Forest, who lasted six days longer than Nancy at Celtic. So I'm okay with it, but, you know, and I think it will go well for this year. I do think it will go well because Celtic rarely throw in two really kind of clangers of seasons. And bizarrely, we talk about a clanger of a season that was a double and could have been a treble, but we know what we watched. We know how the trophies were won. I think Celtic will be much better. I think Celtic will return to a 90-point league season and could be a treble. You can never say a treble because there's always, you can always have your one bad day, but I could see a couple of trophies. I could reach in the Champions League, 90 point, and the football generally will be better. I say that because could it really be more toe curling as it was for long stretches?
You mentioned his XG comment, Stephen, which is, I remember at the time, people making comment on it. I do wonder whether it's one of those ones where he said it in a more extreme fashion and people have taken it in a more extreme fashion than it actually means. Whether he's been in an situation where he's fed up with certain people in football now only speak from a stats perspective and he's trying to convey that premise of, look, all well and good that you talk about XG because it's fine, but surely you measure a player by how many times he puts the ball in the back of the net, not how many times he nearly put the ball in the back of the net and would have done if the game was played in paper. Do you think there's a possibility that it's more of that than he is some sort of great dinosaur Allardyce style?
Despite using and owning the expression, O'Neill's a dinosaur, literally the day we won the league, I was getting messages on the huddle board and everybody, there's guys out there keeping receipts. Anybody says anything bad about Martin, they don't keep the ones where you say how great Martin is, and I've got lots of those. But I don't think it, when you think about the kind of person he is an intelligent person. It does bother me. I don't like that he goes on TalkSport. I don't value them as a, you know, I had it blocked on social media. I never put it on in the car. If I'm in the car with a colleague and they've got it on in the radio, I want to put my head out the window because I think it's just radio for idiots, by idiots. So he's on there and he kind of almost guilty by association with like Jim White, Simon Jordan, who know nothing about Scottish football. And then you've got, you know, McCoy's blethering in the background. So I'd rather he didn't do that. But look, that's up to him. Like, you know, he's so I think he is smarter. I think he says things for an audience. It's kind of like Roy Keane does. They've got a persona that they're acting as when they're on television or on shows. So they have to behave a certain way. Whether that's what he believes, you know, I'm sure he will know that Johnny Kenny might have the same XG as Harry Kane, but Harry Kane's more likely to put the ball in the back of the net. And, you know, and Martin knows the difference between a good striker and a striker that gets in lots of good positions. He knows the difference because he's had those before, not just at Celtic, but wherever else he was. You know, he always had good strikers at Leicester, good strikers at Villa. So, yeah, I can give him that one. My worry about the recruitment, and Andrew, you says it's going to get better. I read something, Graham Spears had written something the other day, because I know he's very close with Martin as well. And he'd said about, you know, we're going to recruit from Martin now and there's going to be different player profile. And my only worry about that is that if Martin's only here for a year and we get a new manager, like an Ange, those are different players. You know, they might not fit, you know. So when Ange came in, there was a big change needed. But actually, it was a good time for Ange to come in and bring in his profile of player because we needed that, you know. Edward was going, Ayew was going, Christie was going. We needed new players in. So actually, they fitted what Ange wanted. And the ones that didn't, like Giakoumakis, they were kind of turned over fairly quickly, weren't they? But the ones he wanted and were key to it, he kept. That's maybe the danger this year. Football is... You know, you're selling, you know, Dembele was sold a dream by Rodgers. And then Dembele was the one that was calling out Rodgers for being a snake, wasn't it? You know, so, yeah, you know, can Martin persuade guys like Dembele, those kind of profile of players to come? I don't think it's Martin. I think it's Celtic that you're selling to those people. And Martin's good at selling Celtic. So... We'll see what he comes up with.
Do you think, Andrew, one of the other things when you were talking about it's not a progressive move, but at the same time, because, you know, he's here for it, I think it's likely to be a year with a year extension or an option on a second year. But the reality is, say, for instance, we got Bellamy as manager and he won a treble and actually got us to the last 16 of the Champions League, for argument's sake. Bellamy might only be here for a year.
Oh, anybody could be here for a year. And the likelihood is they would only be here for a year.
Yeah, so...
That's the reality now.
Yeah, so from that perspective, might the club be looking at this as the final season for a while? You've touched on this a lot in the last few podcasts, where there's only one qualifying game for the Scottish Champions before Champions League football.
Yeah, that was, I should have actually
mentioned. Might they be looking at it from the perspective of, we've got to win this game because we're not going to be playing Champions League. There's a high probability we won't be playing Champions League football for a while.
Yeah.
So we need to get it this time.
You need to get your ducks in a row earlier this year. I mean, Celtic, you could say that about any summer for Celtic. But I mean, the chats that I've had with people in the club, they absolutely maintain there will be early player signings this summer, but like, we'll wait and see. By the way, can I just say, because you mentioned Graham Spears, and I know people will think I'm a hypocrite because I said that Martin O'Neill was holding Celtic back towards the end of last season, which is a bit like Martin and his XG. I went a bit too far, right? I just doubled down on something. Yeah. What I meant was Celtic weren't deriving the dividend from Martin O'Neill probably about kind of March time that they had been in the first spell, his first month, the month between November and December. And I still stand by that in the sense that it was a kind of separate dynamic took over, as often happens with Celtic teams in a tight run-in. They focus their minds and they win games. As I say, nobody ever credits Strachan with winning the title in 07, 08, when he won his last seven games after they were shouting, Strachan, get TF. And I think he brought on Samaras for McDonald, did he? Hooked McDonald and brought on Samaras. They were 1-0 down to Motherwell, lost to Motherwell. Nobody thinks, wow, how did Strachan turn that around? It wasn't Strachan, it was just the dynamics. And it was like the same in 23-24. So that's what I meant. Even though Martin did an amazing job and Celtic, although I don't even know if that's true, because I think it would have with Rodgers. Rodgers would have got his head back in the game. You know, because I know.
No, I keep saying if Rodgers had managed to stick around, we'd have won the league before by the time of this round about the time of the split.
Yeah, he would have got his head back in the game. You know, I mean, what he was saying hours before, and I know, look, after he lost to Hearts, you know, he turned to somebody within Celtic and said they're getting themselves kind of falling over themselves of what's happening here. We've got 29 games to go. We'll be fine. It's amazing to think there was 29 games to go when he left, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
He won two of his last six league games. I think his record was only slightly better in his last six league games than it was than Nancy had in his six league. He'd only six league games, didn't he? It's frightening. Frightening when you think back on it. And that's why Anil made such a difference. And that first time around, he did make such a difference. Second time around, there were a lot more elements. There were a lot more plates spinning second time around that weren't all plates being spun by Anil. Just certain elements took over. But I think, give him the full pre-season, it's his squad, he'll feel even more ownership of what happens from here on in. And he'll think to himself, like, I really want... Like, it was a high, he kinda... People say he could have walked off at the Sunset in a high. Imagine he wins back-to-back titles. You know, like, when he won back-to-back titles in 01, 02, when they won the title in 01, I thought, I've got to get my own kind of line. I want to say something different to him when they won the title. And it was Grand National Day, it was during Lent, if you remember, because that's how early it was. But he was saying he was going to break his Lent for having a wine and all that. And I, you know, young guy and all that, but dead excitable. Celtic just won the league and everything. And I said, do you know, Celtic haven't won back-to-back titles since. Is that the next step forward for you? And he went, oh, for God's sake, give me a chance to enjoy this one. He said, you've already got the onus on. Like, but imagine that. And that, when he won those back-to-back titles, that's all he ever did with Celtic. That was the longest run he had. Back-to-back titles. Can you imagine? Bizarrely, imagine if he went and won the title next year and then thought, I'm taking up that option, and he won three in the spin, and he'd never done that before. Imagine doing it 20-odd years on for your first spell.
The amazing thing about...
I'm getting carried away with myself all over again.
But the amazing thing about Martin O'Neill, I know if you were English, you would turn in and go, just shows you how easy Scottish football is, but I think this illustrates that for some people, there is a club where they and the club just fit perfectly. Martin O'Neill's points per game. Norwich, he only had 14 matches and it was 200 points per game. Leicester, 2 points a game. Leicester, 1.45. Celtic, first time round, 2.36 points per game. I mean, you're almost winning every single game at that rate. Then Aston Villa, 1.59. Sunderland, 1.26. Ireland, the equivalent of 1.4. Nottingham Forest, 1.42. And then back just now, 2.63 in the first eight and then 2.44 in the next 27.
But it is
so there's
Celtic.
Just something about... But it is there is something about being at Celtic.
Yeah, but there's something about being at Celtic is you have, okay, by and large, between 5 and 12 times the budget of the teams you play outside of the four games you meet Rangers.
Yeah, your points record at Bayern Munich would be better than your points record at Mainz, wouldn't it? You know, you've got to put that...
You're not comparing like with like.
No, and that's why I'm saying you've got to take that into account, but at the same time, he is sitting at, in every single one at 2 point...
Yeah, that's amazing. It's a three...
Nearly 2.5 points a game.
Yeah.
It's like that meme, isn't it? It's like Scottish football, done it, completed it. That's kind of Martin... And he's reset and then he started again and he's done it again. Now, actually, he needs to win a treble next year because he only won two this year. So that's the bar, isn't it? That's whereas actually next year, I'd happily win neither cup if we win the league and do well in the Champions League. That's what I would, you know, that's what, you know, because O'Neill, you know, for those of our generation, what O'Neill done, and to paraphrase Chris Sutton, we knocked them off their perch. Was one thing, or put them back in their place. But he gave us a credibility in Europe that we'd never had. You know, so we got to, you know, I got to go to a European final with my brother you know, the year after my dad had passed away, because that was, you know, but we hadn't done that. You know, our generation hadn't done that. And we actually, you know, I remember going to the new camp and knocking them out the year after that. I thought we were better in 2004 than we were in 2008.
Well, that was his best. Mm-hmm. We played 25 straight league wins,
didn't we? You know, they were a good side and they knocked us out. But, you know, those 2 years, you know, and even I remember Bayern Munich that season celebrating getting a 0-0 at Celtic Park.
Yep.
The Bayern players were celebrating getting a draw. That's how good we were under O'Neill in Europe. And he gave us that credibility. And I think we're well away from that now. So if he'd done some of that again, Brendan gave us a bit of that last season. You know, the head-to-head thing with Bayern Munich was great. We could do with a game like that, a game for the ages, like we had under O'Neill first time round. And that's, you know, we don't, you know, the European results last year were good. Feyenoord was excellent, although they've just bumped. I see Van Persie just got sacked, didn't they? The Bologna result was almost better than it could have been if Hatate doesn't get sent off, you know. But, you know, so he did get a bit of credibility in Europe. And yeah. What he does, I think, that people don't realise is he brings the mentality thing. And I look at, I'm a bit of a nerd with football. I love reading about Bodo and Brentford and Bournemouth and what they're doing. Brentford have got a former rugby union guy that comes in and he talks to the players about mindset and mentality. And Bodo have got a former fighter pilot. We've got Martin.
Yeah.
So all of these clubs have got these modern ideas, but that's what Martin does. He done it when we beat Rangers 6-2. You know, he'd be saying one thing in the press about Rangers being the level that we have to aspire to. And in the dressing room,
remember I. Yeah.
He was telling the players, we're going to, you know, we're way better than them, we're going to beat them. Ferguson looked across at the Celtic players in the tunnel and thought, we're getting battered. And 10 minutes in, they were 3-0 down. You know, I don't know what the speech was against Liverpool, but Lennon and Hartson talk about that, the speech at Anfield. We, you know, he sent us out, you know, Blackburn when it was men against boys, the second game. That's what he does. The coaches didn't have a pre-season either. So Maloney and, you know, so those guys are actually going to get maybe time. You know, if you look at last pre-season, was Rodgers and his coaches, John Kennedy, all of that team, you know, they're all gone. How much time did Fozzie have before he took the job to transmit ideas? So I think next year will be different. Because they've got time to do, although we still don't know who the backroom staff are.
We're just assuming, aren't we?
Yeah.
Brian, I think it'll be Maloney and Fotheringham. I think it'll be Maloney and Fotheringham will be in there. I'll see if, don't know if there'll be any others. I also expect, getting back to your, I think we will have more physicality and more height in the team next season than this season, in the last couple of seasons, I think. Regardless of, and I know Sean Maloney, I think, is going to have a large input into the coaching methodology of the team. But I think that concept that Martin likes, a robust, physical, strong team, I think we will have that. And it's maybe based on, it's not based on nothing. It's based on what we did in the Europa League last season. I actually think we're going to do okay in the Champions League. I think we'll get there, and I think we'll get out of it. I think we'll at least do as well as Brendan did.
You take that.
You would take that.
But that's the bar we should. You know, although we said we've got 3 qualified, isn't there a? Do you know the Champions League route that Rangers nearly found if they hadn't finished 3rd in a 2-horse race, but that they were going to win the league, and we were all watching Olympiakos games and Shakhtar Donetsk games to see if they pulled ahead.
Yeah.
There must be a possibility of us getting that if we improve our coefficient. You know, that should be something we should be aiming at. Actually, the better we do in Europe, that might give us another door into being the best non-qualifying champion sort of thing. That should be a target.
You'd need to fare well for a couple of seasons for that to be a possibility.
Our target's just got to be to improve. I think that is a target. Improve our coefficient.
You get that to should the be top, our target. You know, Midtjylland had something they wanted to be. They had this 5-year plan or something. They wanted to be in the top 50 in Europe in terms of coefficient. They wanted to, you know, double their match day or increase their match day attendance and do something with their revenues. And they done 2 of the 3. I think they only got to 52 in the European rankings, so they didn't quite hit it. But, you know, you've often talked about this, Brian, about us having a plan, whether it's to get to a European final, whether it's to get to a... We almost seem to think, well, if we don't have one, it doesn't matter then. We don't need to worry about not getting it. But have one, and if you don't get it, you don't get it. Have a fucking swing and miss, you know, to our friend Ross Desmond. Just have a plan. You know, have something that we can aspire to. And if you don't get there, it won't be for the want of trying. And that, you know, that should be something. You know, we should be aiming to be the best club outside the top 7 leagues. You know, because you've got the big 5, the Dutch teams, we can probably compete with. The Portuguese teams, less so maybe. But those are the 7 leagues that are out on their own. We're bigger than all the other clubs. We're bigger than Bruges.
Yeah.
We should be up there with them.
Absolutely. And one of my criticisms of the people in the club, and I think it's, you'll know better than me, Andrew, I think it's a general culture within the club. Don't put yourself out there. Because then people, then all you're doing is creating an opportunity for people to knock you down.
Exactly. Least said, soonest mended, as they say.
Anyway, so with that,
top 100 or something. No, that
yeah, we should be.
That's the. Yeah. It's legit. Yeah. You're legitimate. Yeah, it's legitimate. The Celtic.
So with that, I will bring this managerial chat to an end, and in about a week's time. What is it? Is it one of the Star Trek films where they're not allowed to speak in code, and it's Captain Kirk says if minutes were days or something like that, and they fix it really quickly. In like a week's time, we'll reconvene and we're going to do a podcast where we review the cup final. So with that, I will say thanks very much.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bring me sunshine in your smile.
We hope you enjoyed that podcast. There will be more along soon. Please share the joy of Celtic Underground. Rate us wherever you can find us on your podcast provision. And also subscribe to the CelticUnderground.substack.com. As you'll be aware, there are two types of subscription. There's free subscription, where you get a certain amount of content delivered directly to your email address. And then there's a paid-for subscription, where you get even more content delivered directly to your email address as and when it comes out. Anyway, enough of me. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. And this is me, Harry Brady, saying goodnight and God bless. Good night.
Bring me sunshine in your smile. Bring me laughter all the while. In this world where we live, there should be more happiness. So much joy you can give to each brand new bright tomorrow. Make me happy through the years. Never bring me any tears. Let your arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love, sweet love. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love.